rich. Hood rich.
Seven the truth. Happy Tuesday, Milwaukee Truth Nation. Thank you so much for tapping in with us today. Make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on social media. We're on Instagram at 101.7 the truth and tap in MKE. Man, I gotta give a shout out to Meech, to Z, CC, Terrence, Biko, the whole staff. I just wanted to shout y'all out today. Truth Nation, we be going in. Welcome to Tap In. I'm your girl, Jazz Tyler. We have some things to talk about today. We have some special guests who will be joining us. Craig Berry, who is the owner of Mr. B's, but does so much more. Michael Inham of Inham Group, as well as C-Money, who is legendary when it comes to the culture as it pertains to entertainment in Milwaukee. And again, I'm excited to have them on. Before we start, y'all know I like to do my affirmations. So if you are listening, whether you are watching or in the car, the affirmation for today is walk into every room like God sent you. It does not matter what other people think. It does not matter how other people feel. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. What matters is when you show up, you show out. You show up authentic. You show up as yourself, the best version of yourself. You show up as you with confidence. Okay? Walk in every room like you know that you belong there. All right. So today we are talking about culture and professionalism. And as we talk about the professionalism piece, I was scrolling online and ran across an article pertaining to the elections. And Tom Tiffany, he blew me, I'm not going to lie. This comment that he made in comparison with slavery is mind-boggling, and I don't foresee it as being professional. No matter how much he tries to paint it, no matter how he tries to flip it to make it work in his favor, it's insane. So, Congressman Tom Tiffany, who's currently running for governor of the state of Wisconsin, recently spoke about Wisconsin history, noting that the Republican Party was founded in Ripon, Wisconsin in 1854 to oppose the spread of slavery. He argued that today's challenge is stopping what he called the spread of socialism, comparing the importance of that issue to defining an issue faced by the party's founders. First and foremost, let's be clear. There is nothing in American history other than slavery that you can compare slavery to, right? I don't know if this is his way, the politically correct way to attempt to gain the black vote. And the reason why I say that is because I'm a very analytical person. I pay attention to everything. If you notice, David Crowley dropped out of the race last week, right? After he dropped out of the race, he endorsed Sarah Rodriguez, who obviously is a brown person. And then today, this week, you have Tom Tiffany, who's an older white Republican guy that compares socialism, the state of Wisconsin, as it pertains to socialism, to slavery, to ending slavery. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. His opponent, Francesca Hong, criticized the remark, saying that the comparison is insane, in which it is. The way that he compared this fight to end slavery misrepresents both history and today's political debates. I'm not sure what's happening with this race. I've been following, but if I'm honest, after David Crowley bowed out of the race, I kind of took a break a little bit because I was rooting for him. But now that we're stepping back and we're looking at this, it's turning into a poop show, like a real life, the beginning of a poop show. If you're into politics and you watch news, you understand exactly what I'm saying, right? I'm not sure who his PR person is. I'm not sure who's over his campaign. But as a person who has ran for office and also assisted other elected officials with their campaigns, that's something I absolutely would have not encouraged him to say. Mind you, we're in the state of Wisconsin. And when you think about Wisconsin, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. To the outside world, the other states, when people think about Wisconsin, they don't think about ripping Wisconsin. They think about Milwaukee, right? So when you're talking about, you're comparing socialism, the state of Wisconsin politics and socialism with the Democratic Party to ending slavery, do you understand why that would be offensive? Do you understand that that's going to be the very thing that exclude black people from rooting for you, right? Not because you're a Republican, but because you actually took time to compare that to this when there is absolutely no comparison. This is, again, I don't know what state we're in when it comes to this race. But what I do encourage people to do is to make sure that you research and that you are paying attention to the comments, the speeches, the things that someone who wants to uphold this office to govern the entire state of Wisconsin, pay attention to what they're saying, pay attention to their actions. We all know that the politics gets very messy during election season. All of the tea and all of the dirt comes out about each opponent. But again, to compare anything to slavery is absurd. It's absurd. I don't understand it. I'm not trying to understand it. And I genuinely hope that this doesn't happen again, that these type of comments don't happen again. It's very offensive. Yeah. So, Tom Tiffany, you won't be getting my vote. Just on the strength of that, again, the views that I project does not reflect 101.7 The Truth. It reflects my own. But as someone, as a black woman in this country and in this state, that comparison was insane and mad offensive. And for that reason, I can't rock with it. I can't rock with it. There's other reasons as well, but that right there, that was a little bit too much. So I want to ask y'all a question, 833-212-1017. What do you think Wisconsin legacy should be in 2026 as it pertains to politics? What should our legacy be? I'm not understanding the route that we're taking right now with the candidates. Not all of them, but again, that comment it really exposed the people that we have in office currently and the people that we have in office who are trying to elevate into a position to where they can control the entire state. And something noteworthy, worthy, is something to pay attention to, is something that I don't think we should let slide, especially if you are a black or brown person who resides in the state of Wisconsin. People like to capitalize off of the work that we put in, our ancestors put in, and the timing of it all is also horrible. This is not a time with everything that's happening, not in this, just in the state of Wisconsin, but throughout the entire country as it pertains to black and brown people. This is not the time to compare something as minute as socialism in Wisconsin to slavery, all because you feel a way towards a specific party and you want to run a race. Nope, we cannot allow that whatsoever, whatsoever. So the first 30 minutes of the show, 15 minutes, I want to hear from you, 833-212-1017. What do you think Wisconsin legacy should be as it pertains to politics? We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the award-winning 101.7 The Truth American Family Insurance Studio in the beautiful heart of downtown Milwaukee. Thank you so much for tapping in with us today. Before we went to break, I was talking about the recent comments that Congressman Tom Tiffany mentioned in comparing socialism as it pertains to politics to slavery, to ending slavery. Like, that was his end all be all, I guess, to obtain the black vote, which was insane. Yeah. So outside of that, today I want to get into cultural professionalism. Specifically as it pertains to black and brown people, because we have some special guests who will be popping up today. Craig Berry, the owner of Mr. B's and so much more. He's not just a club owner. He owns a trucking company. He's involved in the community. He sits on Granville board as well. Michael Inham and C Money, man, we had some amazing guests today, and we're going to get into the cultural professionalism piece. What I want to talk about as it pertains to that is my experience. And I think we touched on this a little bit last week. When I pay for a service or when I pay for anything, whether it's food, whether it's clothes, whether it's my hair, whatever it is, I'm paying you for the experience. Not just what you bring to the table, not just your qualities. That's a percentage of it. The other percentage is my experience. And based off of how you treat me and how you show up on your end, that will then dictate if I'm going to come back and spend my money, right? So one of the situations I've had was I had to wait an hour for two services, right? Two separate services. I paid a deposit for the first service. They were communicative and stated that they were running behind, right? Cool, 30 minutes. That 30 minutes turned into an hour. And I didn't get the above and beyond service. I didn't get extra this, extra that. Remind you, the stipulations are, as a client and a consumer, if I cancel my appointment, or if I'm late, then I will be charged. So what are the stipulations when the person providing the service is late or if they cancel, right? How is the client or the consumer protected? And again, I hate to say this, but it is the truth. When it comes to black people, hello, we gotta do better. You have to do better when it comes to the way that you do business. Especially when you don't know who you're doing business with. Luckily, I am someone who is very understanding, very graceful, all of the above. But had I not been, it could have been a completely different situation. Then I ended up purchasing another service a day later. Same scenario, hour late. However, the experience was immaculate, right? The delivery was immaculate. Therefore, it made up for the hour of this person being late, which to me showed that they had great customer service. Like, hey, things happen. This is what the situation was, but let me make it up to you, right? I'll take that any day. I'll take that any day. I'll take that over whatever the case may be. But I don't appreciate, when it comes to Black businesses, I don't appreciate people taking my appointment unserious. Not because of status, not because of who I am, but because I'm a client, because I paid a deposit, because I'm coming to get a service done, and because I plan my day out the way that I plan it. And again, it's not just Black businesses, but I'm speaking specifically to the Black businesses, because when it comes to cultural professionalism, we have this thing about us where we get very relaxed when we're serving our people. When it comes to our people, we don't feel the need to code switch. We don't feel the need to put on the professional voice, to dress professional, to act professional, to look professional, right? We just feel the need to do the job and that's it. But when you have someone who is not Black as a client, then you go up and be above and beyond. And I just can't understand it. I want us to do a better job at serving our people. So if you are a Black or brown person and you own a business, hear me loud and clear. Your business will fail if you continue to neglect the people that look like you. Right? I understand that we all relate. I understand that because I'm Black, I'm a part of the culture, as far as me specifically, because not everybody is. But that still doesn't mean that you get a chance to have a relaxed type of personality, or as far as your professionalism, when I enter your space for service. Serve me like you would serve anybody else, especially if I'm spending money with you. Because it matters, and that's going to dictate whether I come back or not. It's comfortable for me to want to do business with my people, because every other race does business with theirs. So I'm okay with that. I live for that. If I can shop Black all day long, I would. But part of the reason why I only give 50% is because of my experiences. It's like, as soon as you walk in, I've had mixed experiences when it comes to dealing with Black businesses and their professionalism. They exceed expectations. Some do everything that I need them to do, plus some, right? When I walk out that door, I know for a fact that I'm going to go back. Then you have some where they just simply don't care. And what ends up happening is they lose service, and then people begin to say, we don't support Black businesses. We do support Black businesses. We don't support Black people who own Black businesses who are not professional. That's it. That's all. We support Black businesses. We just don't support Black people who own Black businesses who are not professional. So in order to create a better experience for your people, Black people, entrepreneurs, you have to separate logic from emotions. A lot of times the customer service is bad when you're dealing with certain feel. So if you're going to get your hair done, your nails done, your lashes done, your makeup done, you're going to shop at a boutique, you're going to a certain restaurant, you're going to a certain lounge. When dealing with our people, everything is emotional based. It's based off of, how do I know you? Who do I know you from or through? Right? How do we meet? Instead of providing a service. When I walk into your establishment, that how you treat me should not be based off of how you know me. It should be based off the fact that I have money. And that's it. That's it. That's all. And again, this goes back to us who own businesses, the fact that we need some type of training. We need a personality training, because it's a lot of A-types out here. We need customer service personal training as well. You have to go through certain trainings in order to deliver. Because I'm telling you, I'm so fed up with this. I'm so fed up to the point where the way I spend my money is very limited now. Because everybody is operating in emotion and with ego when they are servicing their people. And it's extremely disappointing. It's also unnecessary. And it runs your customer service away. If all you want is for your friends and your family to purchase something from you, be my guest. Continue to do what you do. But if you're looking to expand, that's not the way to do it. If you own a business, if you're a black person who owns a business in the city of Milwaukee, you have to learn how to operate emotions from logic. It's not based off how you're feeling that day. If you don't feel good, call off. I'd rather you cancel my appointment because you don't feel good than to do whatever it is that you want to do or to do a half job. Communication is key. We have to figure out a way to service our people better when we're dealing with our people. I don't care if you know them or not. It's a service. You are providing a service in exchange for money that I had to work for, which at that point, all the emotions go out of the window. I don't care how you feel. This is money I work for, and this is my time. My time is valuable, especially a person like me, because every minute on the dot is accounted for. Every minute on the dot is accounted for. So again, we have to begin to learn how to treat us when we are doing business with each other. We have to do a better job at that. And I know I've talked about the negative side, but the positive side of it is there are some amazing black-owned businesses in Milwaukee who demonstrate great professionalism, who make sure that when you come, you have an amazing experience and that every dollar you spend is counted for. And those organizations, I truly, truly value. I do. Because, again, you're going for an experience, right? You're going because you like the atmosphere, you like whatever service they're providing, you like their personality, you like the professionalism. And there is some amazing black-owned businesses throughout the city of Milwaukee who offer these things. And to them, I thank you. I thank you for making it easier, right? As someone who has had businesses and have a business, when you're dealing with people, you never know what they're going through. Someone may purchase something from you, your service, because it is a way for them to escape from reality. It is a way for them to take a breath. It is a way for them to run away from whatever it is that they're dealing with, which is why I keep emphasizing experience. People are paying for experiences. You don't know what they're going through in their life. You don't know all of the burden that they carry on their shoulders. So when you are dealing with them in business, make sure that you take the time to think about that, right? It's not just about you. A lot of people are operating in a subjective manner because they never had nothing. And I understand it. You want something for yourself. I want something for you too. But how you treat me after I pay for a service dictates whether or not I'm going to come back, because I'm not just paying for the qualities, I'm paying for the experience, right? I'm paying for more than just, oh, this food is good. No, how do you treat me when I'm there? What does your establishment feel like? What type of people do you have? How long did it take for me to get my food? Right? What was the quality of the food? The waiter, when they came to the table, how often are they coming? Are they making sure my food is hot? It's so many different layers to it. So we want to hear from you, 833-212-1017. What is some negative and positive experiences you've had when it comes to shopping in your community? We got to go to break. Make sure you not touch, do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. Damn, Easy and Hope, where the hell you been? Talking real reckless, stuck man. I adopted these niggas, put them drumming them. Now I'm about to make them tuck their whole summer in. They say I'm crazy, but I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't see me cause I pulled up in my other bins. Last week I was in my other bins. All your diamonds up, cause we in this bitch another again. Photo shoot fresh, looking like wealth. I'm about to call a paparazzi. 101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. And we have a very, very special guest today. Craig Berry is in the building. Craig Berry is the founder and CEO of 920 Hospitality Group, a Milwaukee-based hospitality ownership and operating platform, overseeing a diverse portfolio of bars, lounges, restaurants, and entertainment venues. He also serves on the Granville Business Improvement District, contributing to economic development, business growth, neighborhood revitalization, and community engagement with Milwaukee's Granville area. Craig, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. We're going to talk about cultural professionalism. Before we went to break, we were getting into topics surrounding how we treat our people when it comes to serving them, right? And one of the things that I have an issue with is I feel like a lot of people who have Black-owned businesses tend to be more relaxed when it comes to serving their people. There's no code switching. There's no, and this isn't for every genre or every lane or every arena, but you have experiences where you walk into a hair salon and they may treat you a little bit different than if a white woman walked in based off of the professionalism. They're a little bit more relaxed. So the first question I wanted to ask you is about cultural professionalism, because you have been in business for over 30 years. How important is professionalism, especially when you are serving your people?
Well, I'm getting ambushed, y'all, because I didn't practice this answer, because, you know, it's really a great question. But you have to understand, me being in the business I'm in a service business, and you know, the key to my success is my customer's experience being a certain level. But you have to realize I also have to hire out of this community.
Yeah.
So when we go to some of these places like Walmart and Popeyes, and we experience some of these horror stories when it comes to service, what I do, I have to remind myself when I'm experiencing that as a customer that, wow, they have to hire out of this community. And it just reminds me how far we have to go with understanding the basics of etiquette and mannerisms. And it's a bigger picture than the service industry, Jazz. I'm just going to be honest with you. It goes back to some of the cultural issues that we're challenged with. I was just in the hallway talking to one of the other gentlemen talking about, you know, some of our people don't understand the importance of presentation and the way you're supposed to dress and how you're supposed to leave the house, hair bonnets, things like that. So I can go on and on and on. So all that's connected to some of the cultural issues that we have. And it's challenging. I mean, I have had to retrain staff over the years on the importance of customer service and do not lower the bar because of these are Black customers.
Yes.
You know, and use proper English and speak with a respectable tone. It could be challenging, you know, coming out of our community with the hiring. Don't get me wrong, I don't lower my standards. You know, I'm a proud NPS student, but the way I parent my kid is the way I wanted them to present me, and that's what's missing in a lot of these situations is they don't. Some of the kids just don't understand that you are a reflection of where you come from.
Yes.
So some of these kids, they just don't understand the importance of representing that last name you have. And it's a challenge. It's not easy.
It's not easy. I'm so glad you brought that up because I wanted to talk about fatherhood. Your son is amazing. I first met him when he came and did an internship in Alderwoman Cox's office.
Little Craig.
Yep. And I've watched him grow and I've watched him succeed. And I know that he is a reflection of everything that you poured into him. With today's society and what's happening yesterday, I know you've probably seen the news. We were talking about friendships in the Nolan Wells case. Milwaukee in general, when it comes to your children, is your greatest concern safety, opportunities, or how the world sees them?
Well, thank you. I appreciate the compliment on Lil Craig. You know, most of the friends that know me, they know how I pride myself in my kids. You know, my kids are my biggest investment, and as they should be for any man. But
yes,
Lil Craig, just, you know, he, when I was raising my kids and my wife, we used to have a tug of war about some of the issues as far as principle and this is not a democracy. This is how I run my house. This is a dictatorship. It's daddy's way or no way. And Ebonics was always the thing that we used to always get on our kids about, because it's the principle of it. I wouldn't allow my kids to speak Ebonics in my house.
Yeah.
You have to use proper English. Even if you got Pampers on, I'm going to teach you how to pronounce your words, because it's reflective of other things. And it shows through all of my kids. So anybody that know my kids, man, my kids, they know they're very articulate and things like that, you know, because it comes from what I give them.
Yeah.
It's not just me. It's my wife, too. I got to give her credit. So yes, these kids nowadays, if they are our future, we're in trouble, because you got the parents that are strict like me, and you got the parents who are the kids' friends.
Yeah.
And it's showing every time you turn the news on in other areas, which is a whole nother story. And me being in the entertainment business, nightclub business, I have to deal with it daily. It's, you know, I don't have a lot of problems with my place, but again, I'm unk to a lot of kids. I don't even know their names.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it, because it's a term of endearment. But a lot of these kids are really lost when it comes to conduct and principles. And it's deep. We see it every day on Water Street and Brady Street. It's challenging. I mean, it's a lot.
It is. So with the way that you grew up is completely different from the way that your children have grown up.
A man's job as a parent, I say this all the time, is you have to make sure your kid's life was better than yours. I had great parents, don't get me wrong, but if I died today at my funeral, I would like to think that my kids would say that I did a good job as a father.
Yeah.
But if we get enough of that, I think it'll spread. A lot of our ills in this society will go away if fathers be a little more accountable and be closer to their kids, especially their sons.
Yes.
Because the common denominator with a lot of problems with some of these kids is the father's not there.
Yep.
And some of these fathers really don't deserve to be fathers with the way they're acting. So that's, again, this is deeper than entertainment, obviously. And these are just answers from the heart, because I didn't know you were going to ask me these questions. But
yeah,
again, we're all connected in that area, because we all come from something.
Yep. And thank you. I didn't want to send them ahead of time, because I want authentic responses.
Oh, it's fine. I'm not. I got the truth on my side.
Absolutely. So with everything that you've spoken about as far as how you raise your children, the reality is, for instance, Little Craig, he's still a black boy who comes from Milwaukee, right? So how do you teach him confidence without ignoring the realities of being a young black man in America?
How do I teach him? I mean, Craig was an easy kid. It was easy for him. I mean, it wasn't easy for him, but I really protected my kids from a lot of things, because, you know, I come from the streets myself.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't a saint always, you know what I'm saying? So I use my experiences in life and mistakes I made.
Yeah.
When I raised my kids. I got four kids, two boys, two girls, and they're all great kids. And but it's Little Craig that everybody asks about, probably because he's my namesake, pre-law student. He's doing big things. But, it's kind of hard to answer some of those questions without sounding biased with my other kids. But it's the raising of the kids is not easy, man. I don't care what book they write. It's case-by-case basis, and I've been blessed with all of my kids to give them the principles that I came up with. Now, Craig and Ariel and Deoncia and Charity, they're all successful in their own rights, and they all made their mistakes as well in coming up. But overall, my kids are batting 1,000. But I'm blessed, and I know everybody don't have that story to tell.
Yeah.
So that's why I mentor a lot of kids and a lot of fathers, a lot of kids, you know, that went through things and don't understand the importance of staying close to your kid, regardless to if you're with the mom or not, because that's the other issue.
That part.
The other issue, some people, when they break up with the mom, they break up with the kids, which to me that's terrible. But And I look at my upbringing from my father. I was raised by my mom and my stepdad, and he was great. May he rest in peace. He died a year ago, and he was great. But however, it's nothing like that genetic connection to your actual dad. So, and my actual, you know, my biological father, he was there until he passed in 1999. But I took my experience and the mistakes my dad made and applied it to my fatherhood and made sure my kids had everything they needed. But again, this ain't about me. This is about our community. Overall, I think if we as fathers, as they say, each one teach one.
Yeah.
You know, if we reach out to some of these kids, because this Gen Z is scaring me.
Yeah.
this Gen Z is scaring me, and seeing some of the music and the content that's in this music, it scares the heck out of me. And you see these kids living, trying to live their life through a video game.
Yes.
Social media posts. Social media is the worst thing to happen in our community, if you ask me. I'm just being honest.
Absolutely.
I benefit from it because of the businesses I run is able to get marketed through that. But however, with the big picture, I think the bad outweigh the good with social media, especially when it's not used correctly. Yeah. And it's really affecting us. And I think it's 20 years from now, we'll look back and regret some of the decisions we made with the content that we post.
Yep.
Because some of us live our life through social media, which to me is ridiculous. Because you create a persona of who you want to be and not who you are.
Who you are. That's right. A false reality.
False reality. And I see it every day. I see it, you know. You can't put a filter on We Energies when they send that bill.
That's right.
You got to be accountable.
That's right.
So, you know, but again, it's deep. You know, it's a lot that can be discussed in all those areas. But we're here.
Two, three, and to the four. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the dope. Ready to make an entrance, so back on up.
Before I have to pull the strap off the cut.
Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Hampton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble, cause ain't nothing but a G.
101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, and we have a special guest in the building, Mr. Craig Berry. Thank you so much for joining us today. Before we went to break, we were talking about fatherhood and just the state of our youth in general. I want to know a little bit more about you, Craig, for the listeners. Where did you grow up? How did you get into the entertainment industry? Like, I know, but I want them to understand who you are.
Okay. I started off DJing at Custer. When I was at Custer High School, I was a DJ, and then I started doing promotions. And my mom and my dad actually met at his bar.
Okay.
And obviously, you know
my mom
happened.
And dad is.
They met at his bar, and whatever happened, and I'm here.
Yeah.
And she didn't marry my biological dad. She married her husband, Mr. George Riley. He owned bars. So I've been around the bar culture. I'm a bar baby, basically.
Yep.
So if you cut me, I'm a bleed Hennessy, and I don't even drink Hennessy, but I'm gonna bleed it.
Yeah.
Bruh.
But so when I was I forgot how old I was, but in 1999, I decided I want to open up a club.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to this property at 352 East Capitol. It used to be around this grocery store. And I looked up and I thought, this would be a great place for a nightclub. And I built the Matrix.
Yeah.
The Matrix nightclub. And that place was 30,000 square feet. Capacity was 3,000 people. It was crazy. So they thought I was... They thought I was delusional when I said I was going, hey, man, I'm put a strip club. I mean, I'm going to put a nightclub in this grocery store. So people thought I was like, man, this won't work. Nevertheless, it worked. It was a huge success. It kind of changed what Milwaukee was used to seeing when it comes to nightlife.
Yep.
With the celebrities and the capacity and the way we did it. Then after that, I did a couple more clubs, XXL, Club Escape, Matrix, Kiss. Right now, it's Mr. B's and Legends.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, you know, Mr. B's is pretty crazy on Tuesday. It's pretty busy. We do R&B Tuesday there. It's phenomenal. We do at least 1,000 people every Tuesday. And then Legends, which caters more to the 21 and up. Then we got Swish the Sports Bar, which is open 7 days a week at the same address as Legends. And matter of fact, we got the Blues Festival this weekend.
Yeah. I seen that.
Oh, man, it's going to be big, man. It's our 11th year at the Grandville Bid District does this Blues Festival. This is the 11th year. I've been there since day one, and it's grown every year with participation, and this year it's going to be even bigger and better. Got a lot of major artists. Kelly Price is a headliner this year.
Yeah, I'm coming. Yeah, I don't do much, but I'm coming to that.
It's the next two weekends in Mr. B's parking lot on 86 and Brown Deer. I mean, it's a community-friendly event. It's free, kid-friendly, tons of vendors. It's going to be nice. But, yeah, so that's what I do. That's my main thing. And then I'm building a skating rink. It's going to be called Flow. We're about 20% through in the construction. We're just waiting on some other architectural designs to get done.
Do anybody else know that, or is that an exclusive?
Well, I mean, we was at the state of the we was at the mayor's state of the city, and we had our Flow shirts on. That's the name of the skating rink, Flow, and it generated a lot of questions and conversations. And that was by design, because we was trying to make sure Milwaukee was ready for another skating rink, because the last one we had was a Palace. And I don't, you're not old enough to remember the Palace, Jazz, but
am I not?
The Palace was smooth, man.
That's, I heard
that
about
was,
it.
That was the spot right on Houghton and Capitol. And it was, but I'm not, it was on Port Washington Capitol. But what we did here is we took, we retrofitted the space, and it's about 25,000 square feet. It's going to hold about 800 skaters. It's going to be,
wow.
It's more than, it's not just a skating rink, it's an entertainment venue. So it's going to have games, party rooms, stuff like that. It's going to be pretty nice.
That's what we need.
We got to get these kids somewhere to go.
Yes.
We
got
to give them something to do.
We need that.
But I want the right kids in there, too. So that's a whole nother story. Because, again, Gen Z is scaring the hell out of me, y'all.
Yeah, they taking over the city for sure. And I'm glad you brought up the skating rink, because it leads into my next question as far as being someone who has owned a club for more than two decades. Do you find, and you've serviced multiple generations, do you find that the entertainment has shifted from bringing people together versus clout chasing? Like, is there, do you feel like it's more clout chasing than, you know, I used to go out back in the day just to have a good time. You would go in a club and you would actually dance with people versus standing around. Who's best dressed?
Let me say this. The entertainment industry nationally has really changed. And I'm not going to say it's bad, but yes, you're right. We used to, there used to be a time where you went to the clubs and you couldn't wait on slow songs to come on just so you can ask that girl that you got a crush on for a slow dance. And all
yes.
That. Those days are gone. Now, that if you like her, you just inbox her. You just DM her.
Yeah.
So that kind of made it a little harder on the nightclubs. And then people spend a lot of time on their phones in the nightclubs. It's kind of a...
That's weird.
It's crazy how people would go to the club to meet people, but be on their phone.
Yeah.
So, but generationally, it's crazy because I'm starting to run across, because I've been doing it so long, I'm starting to see some of the offsprings of some of my customers that met at my place.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, I'm getting old, man. Oh, you know my mom and daddy. I know your mom and daddy. They say they met at your club. Well, then how old are you? Man, I'm damn. Old, man. So, but I'm not old. I'm blessed. I take it. But So to answer that question, the generational change is definitely obvious. I mean, it's things have really changed from when I first started as a DJ to promoting at clubs and then owning clubs. There's definitely a big difference.
Yeah.
It's just the way people interact is just different. They will buy a section now and sit in the section and won't get out. There's no dance floors no more because people don't ask girls to dance anymore. Guys would two-step in their section or wherever they're at, and girls would dance or twerk wherever they're at.
Yeah.
So this kind of change, is it for the better? I don't know. They're still meeting their soulmates at some of these places. So, I mean, it's happening, obviously. So everybody don't go home at 2:30.
I said, yep.
No. I'm just being honest. You know, everybody don't go home at 2:30.
So
I think the nightclubs still play a role in people socializing and meeting, even if it's for business purposes and networking.
Yeah.
And it's not just about nightclubs, it's restaurants too.
So with that, leading into the next question, do you feel like people confuse popularity with respect? Based off of, for example, the tone that you said, people are in clubs, they're on their phones, they're Instagramming, the women are twerking on their friends instead of men. And then it becomes like this big thing of, hey, look at me. I'm at this place with this person doing this.
That goes back to the social media. Social media is really driving people's, I should say, their energy, because does it say do it for the gram?
Yeah.
Some people do things just for the gram. They do things just to post it and get responses versus it being genuine or healthy for them.
Yeah.
It's crazy how people will even engage in certain things, whether it be drugs or alcohol or whatever, just to get that response on social media.
Yeah.
It's crazy. One of the reasons, they say I can be mean with some of these people, that content creators that come in my place, because you get people that come in there with their cameras and stuff. I can't control the imaging that they're taking and what they're doing with it and what's being said. So I kind of try to monitor it just for that reason, because information is power.
Yes.
So it can be challenging sometimes when you get some of these people that just want to post everything without putting it in proper context.
Yeah.
So it can be just detrimental to some of these liquor licenses. So we already know how that go.
What are some of the things you would like to see as it pertains to entertainment? Like, some things change as it pertains to entertainment in Milwaukee.
I would like to see the hip hop community get more engaged with politics.
Yeah.
I think if Sexy Red spoke on politics, I shouldn't say Sexy Red. She was a poor example. if maybe a Beyonce. Maybe even a Megan.
Yeah.
I'm going to people that these girls really look up to and idolize.
Yes.
If they got more politically engaged in what's going on and explain to these young people, you know, that what happens with politics affects us directly.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were paying $6 a gallon for gas. So if that does not wake you up to what's going on politically, what will?
Yeah.
I mean, now that's a direct response to some of the decisions that's being made, whether it's Washington, D.C. or local. So I've said this to some of the hip-hop rappers and stuff that come to my places. I tell them all the time, like, bro, you need to get more engaged with – I understand you want to rap about the trap, but let's just rap about what's going
substance.
On in politics. Put some substance in it.
Yep.
We have to pick our people up and explain to them the importance of voting. You have to vote. Milwaukee, y'all have to vote.
Yes.
It's embarrassing to see. Last year we hosted the Get Out the Vote concerts. We did Jacquees, free to get in. All you had to do was come and vote. All you had to do was go to the polls and come to the concert. The participation, you know, it was great, but it could have been a lot better.
Yeah.
In the year 2000, when Al Gore, was that 2000? Yeah, when Al Gore barely won Wisconsin, we had hosted a Get Out the Vote concert. Now, this is before they changed the rules. Back then, you could get what we did in order to get in for this free concert, you had to have an I Voted sticker on.
Yeah,
and we had about 4,000 people trying to get in with their I Voted stickers.
Yeah,
and I know I saw some of my colleagues, some of my childhood friends, they ain't never voted in their life until that day.
Yeah,
because they wanted to get in that concert we was hosting. I think who was it? Too Short? It was somebody. I can't remember which artist it was. But it was a huge success. And after that was when some legislators saw that and they said, oh, we're buying votes, and they changed the rule. But that was very impactful. And I think, you know, in this coming election, we need to figure out a way to do that again legally.
Yep.
Because if that's all it takes to get you to the polls, then come on with it.
Yep.
Because we have to vote.
We do. Especially at a local level.
At a local level. How many of these young people can't tell you who their state representative is? Or what a state representative is?
Or an order person.
Yeah.
They have no idea.
Sad.
No idea. We got Craig Berry in the building. We got to go to break to pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler.